Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, help us to stand strong each and every day, and also in any day of trouble. Help us to stand strong for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Many places in the Bible tell us our Lord God is strong, and we are to be strong also. In the Old Testament, there are examples of strength as we stand for God. David comes to mind. If you recount the words between David and Goliath, as David was standing strong for God and in God's strength. You see, God is the strength, and like Nahum 1:7 says, the Lord is a stronghold in the day of trouble, as God punishes evil but protects those who trust in him. Often in the Psalms, like 46:1, it will say, God is our strength, do not fear. And in the New Testament, 1 Corinthians says to be steadfast. Philippians 4:1 says, stand firm in the Lord. Ephesians 6:10-11 tell us to put on the whole armor of God and to stand. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. See how the Bible encourages us to stand? Have a strong stand against evil. There are several places in the New Testament where it lists the bad behavior of people who will be judged for their unholy lifestyle. And so they will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Timothy, that is 2 Timothy 3, has a pretty good list of those things, describing the conditions of the last days. And we can all turn, each one of us, from our sin, whatever it is, and we can be repentant. 1 Corinthians 6:11 says, and that is what some of you were. Of course, that's before Jesus. We accepted Jesus. And there are different ways to say this. Some like to say, before we were sanctified, or others might say, before we were washed clean in the blood of Jesus. Or another thing you could say is, before we turned away from our sin and did not look back at it again. Yep, that's repentance. So with our faith in God Jesus, we are to be brave and strong. And there are many biblical examples of being brave and strong. I know there's one passage that I used to wonder about. It is there in Revelation 21:7, where it tells about the overcomers who freely get the water of life. And right after that, there is Revelation 21:8, where it tells about those who shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone. And so I wonder about that list, especially the first thing on the list is the cowardly and the fearful. And after that, it says there were murderers and the sexually immoral and the sorcerers, idolaters, and liars. Now, doesn't that just go to show you with the first thing on that list is those who are cowardly, those who are fearful? Yeah, that just shows me that God wants us to be strong and of good courage. That reminds me of Deuteronomy 31:6, where it says, "Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them, for the Lord your God, he will not leave you nor forsake you." See, it sounds to me like God really does want us to be strong and courageous in our faith and in our love of God and in our love for each other. And what if we are not at that point yet? Then, we all have to start someplace. And our strong stand for the Lord, maybe not strong at first, but it gets that way. And how do we start? I think we start by praying. We pray, and then we are ready for our words and our actions. Yes, we want to be able to act with biblical wisdom, and when an opportunity comes along, well, we never know what that opportunity will be, but we want to always be ready with our words and our wise actions to be strong in the Lord. The opposite of strong is distressed. And Jeremiah 1:17 warns us not to be distressed and not even to look distressed in front of our enemies. If we look distressed, we will become distressed, and we certainly do not want that. Our Bible is full of valuable information. It is worthwhile to study and to understand. We can learn about worldly lessons, and we can learn more and more about God, Jesus. We get a fuller and fuller personal understanding and personal relation with God, Jesus, as we study the Bible. And I know there are plenty of people, just plenty, who will read just a couple of passages and focus on them. Oh, you know, let's see, that God is love and God loves you. Well, sometimes that's all people think about. Oh, here's another one. Ask and you shall receive. Oh, there's another one. Believe only and thou shalt be saved. Now, I don't mean that all of those are not true. They are true. They're in the Bible. It's just that there is always more to be said in the Bible, and that is one of the things we do is we seek to know God, His Word, and have an understanding. That's what we do, and again, we all start somewhere. So we start maybe with those verses that God does love us, well, He does, and that ask and you shall receive, true. Believe only and you shall be saved. Well, yeah, but the Acts 20:27 also tells us to proclaim the whole counsel of God. That's a lot. And then somehow we have to discern what to say when. That's a little more involved. And I think we are each on a journey to know God and to know His love and then to love God back. And that, I think, is a part of developing our personal, loving relation with God Jesus, who is our Lord and our Savior. And as our Lord, He tells us what we can do to please Him. And we get those examples from the Bible. He also tells us what we must do to be saved. And that includes John 3:3, that we must be born again to see the kingdom of God. Well, like I said, we all start someplace, and the people who are quite advanced would, maybe they would say, well, you don't know enough, you're not doing it right. And maybe it's true, maybe it isn't, but I do know we all start someplace. And I remember for me, my starting point was asking God if He was real. Is there really a God? That was my prayer. Because at that time, I wasn't sure. Well, He put me on a journey, all right. It lasted years and years. But it starts at some point. And we are seeking the truth. We want to know the truth. And we seek God to understand that. And I have certainly learned a whole lot since that point, but we all start someplace, and we are all seeking that truth of God Jesus. Some of the things in the Bible we will even read a dozen times or more, and sometimes we will learn something new each time, and sometimes maybe on the 12th time we learn something new. It's just that the Bible brings us examples, and then we put those examples into our current life situation. And what I think of all the time is how to be strong and how to fear not. You see, fear is a tool of the enemy, because when we feel fear, we also feel the urgency to do something about that fear. And because fear is an emotion, our response to fear is also an emotion. And the more of emotion there is, the less of a rational response there is. So you know that fear is used to manipulate the emotional response of people. And that manipulation is to bypass a person's logic. And that's what I think is going on today. We are presented with a whole bunch of fearful things, a whole bunch of fearful news, and that gets us to respond on an emotional, fearful basis. There's this list I came across for the last 20 years. It's a generalized list, but it's pretty accurate. In the last 20 years, we have had some items of fear. And I'll just quickly read them. 2000, there was the Y2K scare. 2001, there was anthrax. 2002, the West Nile virus, 2003, the SARS virus, 2005, the bird flu virus, 2006, the E. coli scare, 2008, there was the huge financial crises, 2009, swine flu, 2012, the Mayan calendar, which predicted the end of the world. 2013, there were things going on with North Korea. 2014, the Ebola. 2015, the ISIS situation. 2016, the Zika virus. And 2020, the coronavirus, COVID-19 virus. And you could even go into 2021 and talk about the fear that some people have of the mRNA vaccine. The first ever experimental human RNA vaccine. So, in a way, these are all items of fear, and it is fear of an unseen thing. We cannot see a virus, but we are told about how bad they are, how they're really going to get us. Viruses are going to kill us. And so you listen to that kind of news, and you can see that over and over, we have had an element of fear that has been kind of like put into us because we hear about it all the time. Do we listen to the fear that our media speaks to us? Or do we listen to the Bible, which tells us to fear not? Well, we can surely see that our enemy wants us to fear, but God Jesus in our Bible tells us to fear not. And as Christ followers, we are therefore to fear not. And we are even probably ready to sacrifice our life for the sake of Jesus Christ, right? Well, that's not fearful, is it? It's just the right order of things. And I have known a few people who would indeed be glad to sacrifice their life for the sake of Jesus and not deny him. I've met more than a few missionaries who were ready to sacrifice their life for the preaching of the gospel, for Jesus. And they went into areas where Jesus Christ was not welcomed, and in fact, there would be men with guns and worldly authority ready to hurt them, ready even to take their life if there was a reason or an opportunity. There have been plenty of missionaries like this. We have read about them, but they still exist. Like I've said, I have met quite a few of them. So, you know, missionaries, we also have people in our local churches. They are, in a sense, missionaries also. They are close to home, but they are also preaching the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So there are many people who are preaching the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. They're doing it. And so it's an example that we can have to be strong and without fear as we worship our Savior, Jesus Christ. So let us fear not the enemies of Christ. and let us not fear the viruses. And let us do continue to thank and to praise and to worship Jesus Christ. Yes, those are kind of some spiritual examples of people who remind us not to fear. And there's also a very real and practical application of fear not. Because if you will remember ever having met up with a bully, they thrive on fear. They want you to fear so they will do what they will get you to do what they want you to do. So that's what bullies do. They intimidate you and make you fearful. And in a sense, there are governments that are bullies, and they would be thought of as a tyrannical government. And you know that they use the element of fear to bully whoever you are, whoever their citizens are. That's just normal operating procedure for those governments, and we know them, the examples of the past. Why, in the last 90 years, there have really been some very seriously bad governments who did bully their citizens. Well, not only bullied them, they threatened and imprisoned and killed them. I just think back to the 1930s and 40s when there was the Nazi German government. They called themselves the National Socialist Party. And people since then have asked, how did such an evil thing happen? And some people ask, how did the church in Germany let that happen? How did they not stop Hitler? Well, some of them tried, but still, the tyrannical ruler Hitler did happen, and those same kind of questions have been asked about Chairman Mao in China. How come the church in China did not stop the evil takeover of China by Chairman Mao? Well, there was evil going on, and there was fear, and there was reason to fear. Well, people were imprisoned, people were killed, and in fact, children were even forced to betray their parents. And in some cases, the children were forced to kill their parents. Well, it was awful. It was awful. You can read the accounts, but not too many people do. It's not pleasant. But in both of these cases, with the tyrannical government, millions of people suffered and millions of people died. And the tyrannical government, as a dictator, well, it got more and more powerful, not only in those more powerful countries, but again in those last 80 or 100 years, there were plenty of smaller countries who went down that similar road to tyranny. And mostly, they followed a communist pattern. And that pattern even continues to this day. Where millions of people have been killed and millions of innocent lives lost when there is a tyrannical government. Often it is communist. And we are left to wonder, how do these things happen? How come the citizens do not stand up against this? How come the churches do not stand up against this? See, sometime you not only have to pray, you have to act. And there are people today who are concerned even with our very country. And could that happen here? Could there become an oppressive government here with the spreading of fear that goes hand in hand with a tyrannical government? Well, most often it means there's dissenters that oppose that tyranny, and they get imprisoned or killed. That just is a part of the way it goes. And then people get fearful. Pastors get fearful. Congregants get fearful. And that fear makes everyone comply with the wishes of the dictator. Fear is a tool of compliance everywhere. And it's different. I mean, yes, there were the tyrants, but here in the United States, we also have an element of fear on quite a different level. Let's see. It is on the level of money, the way I see it. And fear is a tool of compliance over money. See, it's 16:9. And the Bible calls it filthy lucre, or unrighteous mammon, or we might say dirty money. But the problem is when our morality is compromised to get more and more money. And so the next step in that direction is that some people say the 501c3 tax deduction that churches are allowed to pass on to their donors, well, they think that's compromise. And it just might be. But what I'm leading to here is that influence of the money with a 501c3 tax-deductible corporation makes churches fall in line with what the government tells them to do. Now, we can argue that point because there's plenty of churches who would say, no, I would never do that. But there's plenty of churches that fall in line. And if you look at the churches that have closed due to the COVID-19 crisis, you might get an idea of what's going on. Another example of that was 5 or 6 years ago in Texas. There was a great big concern about a law that had been passed that required hundreds of pastors to submit their sermons in advance to the government. And so a government had to know about or approve those sermons before the pastors could preach them to the congregation. And this law was passed to prevent any pastor from preaching against same-sex marriage or homosexuality. Well, that law pretty much failed because it was not adhered to. People just wouldn't do it. But it was a law that was passed. And that's really what I want to mention about it here, is it did get passed. Right here in our country, there was a law that forced preachers to submit their sermons. For right or wrong? Yeah, we'd say wrong, but the law was passed, and many pastors complied, and many did not. But it's an example of what can and does happen. There's a whole lot of people who say, don't worry, whatever it is, we will just fix the problem. We will vote them out of office. Whoever tries to impose a law like that in us, we'll vote them out. Well, I tell you, I've seen a lot of problems, and I remember even 50 years ago, we had problems with dead people voting. Voting, well, the principle is right, but nowadays, our voting systems have gotten very seriously inaccurate and bad. The sophistication of vote manipulation has gotten greater and greater. And like I said, I remember 50 years there were problems with dead people voting. That was mostly in the big cities, but it still was a problem. Vote manipulation. Well, that was going on then, and it certainly is going on today. And these days, there is a great number of people who have learned that they don't have to react to any problem. They don't have to worry about the vote manipulation. They don't have to worry about the crime or the corruption or anything. No, all they have to do is sit down and enjoy their life. Sit down, get comfortable, watch every sort of variety that there is in life, and plenty of it is sinful, and we don't have to do anything. We can just sit and watch. We don't have to comment. We don't have to interact. Just sit down and watch. And that has been a habit that we have acquired over the years, over the decades. It is because of television, or it is because of the entertainment screen, the entertainment community. It is become a habit that we all just sit down in our easy chairs and do nothing. As life goes by, we watch it. And we are exposed to every kind of violence and every kind of sexual immorality right in front of our eyes. And the habit is that we do nothing. So I get concerned that we, the people, are getting to the point where we will do nothing. Nothing will move us to action. How are we going to respond to injustice or immorality? See, there's people who are saying, oh no, that won't happen. But it is happening. And there are also people who are saying, it won't happen to our military. Our military will always defend us. Well, just think back a few days ago. There was a Memorial Day event hosted by the American Legion in Ohio. And a retired Army officer was giving a speech. I think he was a general, actually, retired. But in that speech, he was talking about how during the Civil War, the freed black slaves had honored the fallen soldiers. And he said that, and instantly the microphone went dead. The organizers, well, they were up in arms about this, and two of the organizers resigned because somebody cut his mic. But it's an example of what's going on even in the military. There is a culture that is being imposed even on our military. Will they stand for the military tradition, or will they fall to political correctness? I just wonder. I certainly don't know. Well, I do know we have a great divide all over our society. And that includes our military. We used to think that the military would not be corrupted, but look at what happened in the Trump administration, and you could see that improper compromises were made. So we do not know what our military will stand for or not. I just saw a short video somebody put together, a private person, and it compared the military recruitment ads of China, Russia, and the U.S. And so it showed just little clips of China and Russia where the people shown were manly men doing military jobs. But for the U.S. recruitment, it showed racial integration and a woman who spoke of having two moms in California. So they're obviously reaching out to different kind of people in every military. And, well, just to be aware of it, is this where we are headed? What about the cohesion that our nation needs? We do need to have common goals and interests. And it's kind of hard when you have so many divisions in our own society. They're all over the place. And I know one of the things that brings nations together is a threat from an outside nation. But we haven't had that for 200 years in the United States, and we've gotten a little bit sleepy in the U.S. In 1814, the U.S. was invaded by British troops, and they burned many parts of Washington, D.C. And you could say that's just too bizarre. We can't believe that, and that would never happen today, right? Well, we have a lot of different weapons today. There is EMP weapons, which is electromagnetic pulse. We have biological weapons and cyber weapons. We know about those attacks. So we are in a different age. And still, we have borders, but our borders are being infiltrated. We still don't know. There could be shock troops right in our very country. You see, the thing is we don't know. Our borders are porous. And the number of people and even the number of items that are crossing our border is really very unknown. It's a mystery. You look it up and you try to find it up. Find out what is going on. I have. The statistics are all over the place. There is no reliable estimation. I know that two statistics I found was in the month of March, there were approximately 6,000 people who were apprehended by our Border Patrol. 6,000 a day. And that makes 170,000 people apprehended in March and 170,000 apprehended in April. You know, that's over a million apprehensions for the first half of this year. So it's only a guess. Anyone can guess at how many people actually made it into the country from our southern border. It's just something. And I can only imagine how many of those people are receiving public benefits. Well, there's another little factor on that, and that is the number of people who cross into our borders that are not from friendly countries. They're not from Mexico or Central America. They are tabulated as OTMs, or other than Mexicans. And there again, the information is not available. But I remember once it was shown to be over 1 in 5 were other than Mexicans. And they included people from the Middle East and from Africa and from Asia. But the whole fact is that we don't know. We just don't know what's coming into our country, not with the people and not with drugs or other weapons of war even. There's been those reports too. But how do you prove them when things are being hidden from us? It's just a great big question. But it does show evidence of the decline of our nation. And it is a big decline. You know why I think it is? It's because we are losing our Christian morality. And when Christian morality declines, all other morality also declines. That's the basis. As we leave God, God leaves us. And without God, the crises are going to only continue until there is no strength left in the country, and then there will be a great collapse. And I think of Revelation chapter 18, the fall of Babylon the Great. I think it's good to read because it's powerful, and it very well could be exactly what is going on. As we slide further and further, faster and faster down this slippery slope. That's what I hear Christians talk about. We are going faster and faster to a very, very bad place. There are things going on all over that are just that evidence of that slippery slope. Things happening. And I mean, just locally, we are in the middle of drought. Oroville Dam was at 38% full a month ago, and I've tried to find more figures on that, but somehow I just can't find the information. Is it being hidden so the public doesn't see it? I don't know, but I couldn't find it. Over a month ago it was 38% full. And what does that mean anyway? It means we are going to have a drought. It means that we're not going to have enough water. And the state of California has warned us that there would be a big drought, but they didn't talk about the effects of it. They did nothing. No, there was no action taken for us to, in general, conserve water. I haven't seen any. I've just heard talk about a water shortage is coming. A major drought is here. And it's going to affect us greatly. But I have not seen the conservation steps. Maybe you have, but I haven't. Nothing actually gets done until the severe crisis hits us. And then what? What? Are we going to have no water to drink? Are we going to have no water to grow our food? Are we going to have no water to run the turbines in the Oroville Dam, which provides very much electricity to Northern California? Well, it could happen. But we did release water to prevent hardship on that little river creature. Oh, boy. Well, what about the hardship upon us humans? Where did common sense go? And I think of Rahm Emanuel, who said, "Never let a good crisis go to waste." And I think that's what's going on here. We are seeing manipulation. We have a crisis, and we are being manipulated into an action that we will be forced to take. It would only be reasonable at that time when there is a real crisis, but now before the crisis is here, we would not take it. But there is manipulation going on. I mean, I've been aware of manipulation 30 years ago when I was in a civic groups, and we would talk about how to get federal funding for projects. In a sense, that was manipulation because we knew it was money that would be available to a civic project. And we just had to request it in a form that was acceptable to the federal government. That was manipulation too. Manipulation goes on all the time by good people and by bad. Well, we just want to make sure that we are following a good moral biblical principles as we go through, well, whatever we're faced with. And that includes the question of vaccines. Are vaccines moral? Are they biblical? Or are we going to be satisfied with the bodies that God gave us? Oh, boy, this is a big question, isn't it? Now, there's much disagreement, and the thing is to think about it and think about whether we're going to require it for everybody. Remember, is a COVID experimental vaccine that's going on right now. And in Texas, I guess that was over a week ago now, a Methodist hospital was sued because it was requiring all employees to get a COVID vaccination. And 117 hospital employees sued their employer, saying that they should not be required to get an experimental vaccine. And one that a vaccine that even had reports of sterility and deaths associated with it. Well, just about 10 days ago, that hospital suspended just about all of those employees and a few other ones as well. So we can just kind of wonder, what's going to happen? What's going to go on? Will the governor continue to mandate this and that? Why, even masks, he's changed his mind on that. Now, apparently, if you are in a group and there's one person who's not vaccinated, everyone will be required to wear a mask. Yes, masks will still be required for some public events or public stores or schools and such as that. Well, we have these questions, we have these things going on, and what are we going to do? We are obviously in a mess, and things are going to go slide down a slippery slope. So what are we going to do to protect ourselves? Well, it's up to each one of us to do something for our individual protection. And yes, the government protects us as a society, in a military, in a big social way, but we have a responsibility to protect our own and ourselves. And we have a situation where we have a constitution that said we the people are the government, and so we are going to bear consequences for the decisions our government makes, including our great big huge national debt. We are going to have consequences. So let us stay in prayer so that we can have wise actions. We want wisdom, and that means we pray and we read our Bible as a source of that wisdom. That's what we do. There's things that are just causing the systems to be on the edge of failure. And I think of banking, that's one of them. And the U.S. dollar, was it 2 weeks ago? There was both Wells Fargo and the Bank of America who were, they released statements that reflected great concern about the American economy. And then now, just a week ago, Deutsche Bank issued a warning about the global economy being on a big downward path. Right about that time, the Federal Reserve said that it was having $369 billion of reverse repos, which means purchase orders for treasuries. And then later on, it was released that there was $485 billion in that program to raise cash. Well, what's going on here? Obviously, we don't know. There is confusion, and it's intentional. They show us these things so that we cannot follow the logic. And I think the logic we can understand here is that the Federal Reserve is creating dollars. They've done that for a year and a half now, a great big creation of dollars. And we can look at the historical examples. Every time that has happened in history, the country's currency, the country that does that, their currency fails, and their country, in effect, fails. So what happens? We suffer. We the people suffer. That's the way it has been. It's a historical fact. It's always been the results. It's always been like that. So will it happen to us? After all, why should it happen to America? God loves America. Well, you know that's true, But God gives us consequences for our decisions. And, you know, I'm not sure that we as a country have been faithful to God. It kind of seems like we have not been following his commandments, right? So, maybe we are in some pretty deep trouble. Oh, boy. Well, failed countries have been the rule. Every country has failed. It might happen to us, too. But the time frame is something we just don't quite understand. Will it happen in a month or a year? A couple of months? A couple of years? That seems to be the common thinking about the financial people. That's what they talk about. And so my part in this is to shout out a warning of get prepared, get ready for some very severe events. The trouble is, I don't know the timing of it, and I'm not sure that anyone else does either. We don't know if we're talking about a few months or a few years, but somehow we can see that something is going to hit our country. The economic indicators are showing this. The social, the political indicators are showing this. And so we want to have a few of those preparedness steps. Now, in the past, I have talked about the billionaires. And yes, that's a lot of wealth. If you remember, a billion is 1,000 million. And there are billionaires in our country and around the world who are getting remote homes ready for them to run to so that there will be food and water and a security crew and an airstrip at that remote location. So I don't know what anybody else should do. I just know that there's some people who are pretty well connected, those billionaires, and they are getting ready for trouble. So maybe we should do something too. I mean, the time to do something to get ready is when there are resources available. And right now, we do have resources available in our country. It's just a matter of figuring out, what do we do? What do we want to do? And there's so many answers to that question. I don't mean I have the answers. I don't, because so many things are individual choices. In fact, if I was to tell you what to do, I think hardly anybody would do it. And that's the way it should be, because we are individuals and we make our own individual choices. But don't forget, we have an enemy, and that enemy is the devil. He wants to mess with us. He wants to mess us up. That's the nice way of saying it. Kill, steal, and destroy from us. And so we have to be aware that there are forces out there that want us to be killed, destroyed, suffer. And on the other side of that, we have a God who says, be ye holy. Like 1 Peter 1:16 says, be ye holy, for I am holy. And I think that is what we really want to focus on, because we want to be able to, well, yes, please God, but also to be ready for heaven. And in heaven, there will be holiness. There will not be any sin. Nobody will practice any sin in heaven. So that's something that we can get ready right now by eliminating any sin from our life. And sin is that which opposes God's will. Pretty simple, isn't it? Yes, but then we have to walk in it. And that's the little challenge. So we have a different... so many people have a little different understanding, or sometimes a lot different understanding, about what we are to do to walk with God. And that takes study. We have the Bible to study, and it tells us. And we certainly want to be cautious about listening to any other person than God or reading any other book than the Bible. Because the Bible is the Word of God, and you can research that. It's the research is available. You just have to look into it. But do seek out this understanding of who God is and how to please Him. See, we might spend a lifetime trying to please God, but it really comes into clear focus during the last minutes of our life. And whenever those last minutes are, we focus pretty intensely on God. I know that there have been people who I've known who they get very focused as they know they're dying. And we'd all want to go to heaven. That's something we all want to do. But the problem is we don't know if we have 2 seconds until our life is up or 22 years. We just don't know. But people think that in the last minutes of life, they will be able to get right with God. But sometimes in those last minutes, people are so caught up in the situation or they're caught up in the pain of what's going on that they just don't have the presence of mind to think about God. Some people are so drugged out in a hospital that they can't even think anymore because of the drugs in their mind. And all these things we have to consider and know that now is the time that we want to get right with God. Don't wait until death. And I'm sure you are, but maybe this applies to someone else. Just think about the choices you have and how you can follow God, Jesus. Make that commitment. And if you haven't done it yet, make it today. Turn from all your sin, and I think the reading the Bible helps, but I guess that's for another day right now. So for this broadcast, if you would ever like to listen to a past broadcast, you can go to www.christtoday.org. No spaces, lowercase. And then you can also get my free preparedness pamphlet by sending me a stamped self-addressed envelope to John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. Well, God bless you, and may you walk with God, and may God walk with you.